We've already seen from the classification lecture how important it is to correctly classify your goods. Remember, the classification code determines, amongst other things, the rate of duty applicable to the goods. So, if the rate is 3.7%, what do we apply this rate to? Well, generally we apply it to the CIF, value of the goods, which stands for cost, insurance and freight. You might have a sense of déjà vu here, as we have already mentioned CIF in a previous lecture. However, what is included in the word cost, for instance? To find out more, open up the code at Article 29. In order to arrive at the value of our goods, we have to use one of six methods. There is one exception to following the methods in order. Methods 4 and 5 can be reversed at the importer's request. We'll look at an illustration. You import goods from America into the UK and pay for them in sterling. Article 29 of the code says that the value of the goods is the transaction value, i.e. the price paid for the goods when sold for export to the community. There are some provisos before you can use this method. These are listed further down in the article. For instance, take a look at Article 29, subsection 1, brackets D, and Article 29, subsection 2, brackets A. If you need to pause the lecture to spend a few moments reading them, do so now. When you are ready to resume, then press the play button. These subsections tell us that you cannot use the transaction value if the buyer and seller are related and the relationship has influenced the price. What does a relationship in this situation mean? An example is where one of the parties, directly or indirectly, controls the other. Article 143 of the Implementing Regulations provides more details. Let's take the following example. Company A is based in the UK and imports goods from its parent company, B Inc., based in America. They agree that the purchase price of the goods will be £10,000, which is £2,000 lower than the market value of the goods. If Company A was allowed to use Method 1, customs would lose duty on £2,000. But because the relationship between the parties has influenced the price charged, Method 1 cannot be used. In this situation, therefore, we would have to move on to Method 2. You will also note from Article 29 that Method 1 is not available for certain other imports, which include free of charge goods, as there is no price paid, imports by UK branches, where there is no sale between two separate legal entities, and leased goods, as again there is no sale. Now, before we go on to look at Method 2, there is something we need to look at in more detail. The phrase in Article 29, subsection 1, sold for export to the community. Article 29, subsection 1, says we use the price paid for the goods when sold for export to the community. Consider the following scenario. Arun Limited imports toys from its sister company, BAFTA Inc., which is based in America. BAFTA Inc. was a distributor company for the group and had purchased the goods itself from its subsidiary, Cloda Inc. Cloda Inc. was the manufacturer of the toys. Look at the sales now appearing on the screen. Cloda charges BAFTA £8,000 for the toys, and BAFTA then adds on its own profit of £2,000 before selling the toys for £10,000 to Arun. Could we use the initial £8,000 sale between Cloda and BAFTA as our customs value? To find out whether we can do this, turn to Article 147 of the Implementing Regulations. This tells us that we can declare a price which relates to a sale taking place before the sale between BAFTA and Arun, as long as we can demonstrate that this sale took place for export to the EU. So, if Cloda's toys are electronic and have plugs attached, and those plugs are designed for use in the UK only, that is, they have three pins, then this would show that the goods must have been destined for export to the UK, as they could not be used elsewhere. In addition, if the goods are made to specifically conform to EU safety standards and have a particular technical specification that has been requested by Arun, this would increase our evidence that the goods were destined for the EU at the time of the sale between Cloda and BAFTA. It's worth noting that customs would look very carefully at the evidence you produce to decide if this earlier sale can be used. We're not quite at the end of Method 1 yet. Let's now consider the following. You work for a UK company that is going to import finished t-shirts from a company in Bangladesh. If the Bangladeshi company were to source the material, buttons, Kimball tags, and artwork itself, these costs would all be charged to your company as part of the price for the goods. For the sake of simplicity, I have shown all amounts in pounds sterling and have ignored any profit element that would also be charged on the sale. However, what if your company were to supply the buttons and Kimball tags free of charge to the Bangladeshi company? Has it now successfully reduced the cost of the goods to £13,000? The Bangladeshi company now only has to pay for the material and artwork, and will only need to charge this cost onto your company. Well, unfortunately, you cannot do this. Take a look at the last sentence of the first paragraph of Article 29, subsection 1. It says that the price paid has to be adjusted in accordance with Articles 32 and 33. Turn to them now. We will take Article 32 first. It gives a list of items that have to be added to the price of the imported goods, but only if they are not already included, that is. I'll pick out the most important ones for you. You can read the rest of them in your own time. A1. You need to add in any commissions paid to agents, except buying commissions. Therefore, we need to add in selling commissions. 2. The cost of containers treated as one with the goods also need to be added in. For example, a violin case, housing a violin. B. The cost of goods and services supplied by the buyer free of charge or at a reduced cost for use in the production of the imported goods. For example, the Kimball tags and buttons that we talked about in the previous example would need to be added back in. C. Covers royalties and license fees relating to the imported goods. For instance, a trademark logo on a t-shirt that the buyer must pay as a condition of sale of the goods. And E1 tells us that we must add in the cost of transport and insurance to the place of introduction into the customs territory of the community. This is where we get the phrase CIF from, the cost of the goods, insurance and freight. Royalties and license fees can be a contentious area, so we'll look at these in a bit more detail. So, what exactly constitutes a royalty or license fee? Article 157 of the Implementing Regulations provides us with a list. It says that royalties and license fees include patents, manufacturing know-how, trademarks, and copyrights. But not in all cases do we have to add the cost of the royalty to the value of the goods in order to calculate our customs duty. Article 157, subsection 2, explains this further. It tells us that the fees are only added to the price paid for the goods if they relate to the goods being valued and constitute a condition of the sale of those goods. Therefore, if we can make sure that the royalty payment is not a condition of the sale of the imported goods, we do not have to add it to the value for duty. But how can we do this? Take a look at Article 160. If the importer pays the royalty or fee to a third party, this will not satisfy the condition in Article 157 unless the seller requires the buyer to make the payment. So, where the seller is not related to the royalty holder, it is unlikely to be a requirement of the sale. Therefore, in this case, it does not have to be added to the value for duty. Now let's look back at another of the additions in Article 32 E1. Transport and insurance up to the place of introduction into the customs territory of the community. Imagine you have purchased your goods from the seller, and included on the invoice is the cost of the goods, plus insurance and freight. The specific wording of E1 tells you that you only need transport and insurance to the point of introduction into the community. This would be the point at which the goods cross the border of the EU. See Articles 163 to 166 of the Implementing Regs for this. In our illustration, our goods have arrived by sea, and have then been unloaded onto a lorry to continue the rest of their journey by road to our premises. If we have been charged inland freight, then these costs do not need to be included in the value for duty. So, can we deduct them from the invoice price? You can, provided that the freight is itemized separately from the cost of the goods. You will see where this rule comes from in a minute. For goods consigned by air, we have a trickier problem. If you think about it, the freight charges will cover not only the time that the plane was flying outside the EU, but also the miles that it has covered since it crossed the EU border. Luckily, there is at present a schedule in Annex 25 of the Implementing Regs. which allows us to apply a certain percentage to the air transport costs. We then only include this amount in the value for duty. The percentages depend on where the plane took off from and which airport in the UK it landed at. Now we have looked at the items which must be added to the price of the goods, we need to consider what can be deducted. Take a look at Article 33 of the Code. One proviso given by Article 33 is that the items must be shown separately from the price of the goods if you want to deduct them, so it is advisable to get yourself an itemised invoice. However, the landmark ECJ case of Overland Footwear has shown that even if the items are not shown separately at the time the declaration is initially completed, the importer can request for the declaration to be amended and the deduction made if he has evidence that shows the breakdown of the invoice total. You will see on the screen before you a typical invoice. In order to establish what value should be declared for customs duty purposes, we'll look at the items in Article 33. They include charges for transport after the arrival of the goods in the customs territory of the community. We've already looked at this. Charges for construction, erection, assembly, maintenance or technical assistance undertaken after the importation of the goods. This one is logical. We only want to pay customs duty on the value that relates to non-EU production. What happens after the goods arrive in the EU is good for the European Union generally and should not be added to the value for duty. Interest under a financing arrangement. However, you cannot manipulate this. For example, you can't charge more for the interest than the goods themselves. If you read further down, it says that the rate of interest cannot exceed the level that would be expected for the particular country that the goods are being shipped from. Charges for the right to reproduce the imported goods in the community. This is different to what we have seen already with respect to royalties or license fees that enable you to import the goods in the first instance. Charging someone for the right to reproduce the goods in the community is so that you can manufacture those goods in the EU. Again, this is good news for EU producers and relates to the goods after they have been imported, so this figure will not be included in the value for duty. Buying commission. Again, we have seen this before. And import duties. Sometimes importers buy their goods on what we call DDP terms. This stands for delivered duty paid. Part of the total invoice price includes the customs duty that is due on the imported goods. The duty itself would need to be removed so that you arrive back to a CIF value. Look back at the lecture on types of duties to see how you find the CIF value. Looking at the invoice on the screen, we can see that it covers 5 cartons of t-shirts and the total price of the goods is £10,000. Also itemised on the invoice is a 2% settlement discount if the invoice is paid within 7 days of receipt and a royalty enabling the importer to reproduce the goods in the EU. Looking back at our list on the right hand side, we can see that the royalty is itemised separately, so £300 can be deducted. So, now we have a value of £10,000. The settlement discount is itemised, so the importer can use 98% of the £10,000, i.e. £9,800 as the value for duty, provided that he does take up the discount. We also need to check that the £9,800 includes insurance and freight to the point of introduction into the community. As the invoice terms are CIF, insurance and freight are included. We also need to be careful as to whether any of that freight includes transport after the goods have arrived in the community. If so, we need to apportion the freight costs. Whew! Method 1 has been rather long. You will see methods 2 to 6 in the next lecture. However, I think we need a quick quiz to refresh what we have learnt so far. Without replaying back any of the lecture and just using your legislation as your only reference source, try and answer the following questions that have appeared on the screen. You will see a series of check boxes. You type an X in the correct box. If you think that both answers could apply, then type an X in both boxes. Once you are happy with all of your choices, hit the Enter button and the answers will be displayed for you. If you have got less than half of them correct, then replay this lecture at a later point in time, retry the quiz, and also review your legislation. We'll run through the answers. Buying commissions can be left out of the value for duty provided they are shown separately from the price of the goods. Selling commissions must be included. Coat hangers that are provided free of charge or at a reduced rate must be included in the value. Royalties must be included in the value as long as they are a condition of the sale of the goods and relate to the goods. They do not need to be included if they relate to reproducing the goods in the EU. So this one could potentially have both answers. Maintenance charges and interest charges can be left out. Again, the charges should be shown separately. Import duties can be left out. Transport from Liverpool to Birmingham can be left out, again, provided they are shown separately from the goods. And finally, the seller's profit and packaging of the goods needs to be included. Now, click on Valuation, Lecture 2, to see the other methods.